been blind. I've let my doubts and my confusion cloud my mind. I have walked in my own wisdom. I've been wrong. Take my hand and lead me back where I belong. Restore my soul in the valley, that I might be worthy at last to stand with thee on the top of the mountain. In the valley, restore my soul. Stripped of all that once I clung to, Lord, I come. Though in your eyes I know I'm nothing, yet I come. With your hand there once was no scarred just for me. Touch me now and make me all that I should be. Restore my soul in the valley, that I might be worthy at last to stand with thee on the top of the mountain.
And then we're also going to read, when this one's not on, this one needs to be on, Tom, okay? And then we're going to do that. Now, we'll also look in Colossians chapter 3 tonight as well, so you might put your finger there. Ephesians chapter 6 and then Colossians chapter 3. So find that place in your New Testament. We're going to look at one verse and basically one subject tonight for our message. If you found it and you're able to stand in honor of God's word, do so please. Join me. And I'm going to read verse 1 in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I want to speak tonight on the essential of obedience. The essential of obedience. Father, help us tonight in the service. Thank you for what our hearts have already experienced. Lord, the great video, the work that you're doing in New Guinea through the Lewis family. Thank you that we can be a small part, Lord, financially and even a greater part in the ministry of prayer. Lord, just meet their needs while they're here. May they be rested and Lord, ready to go back and engage in the work in February. I pray that you'll bless this message tonight. Fill us with your spirit, both speaker and listener. Guide my words, my thoughts. And Lord, may we say everything you want us to and nothing more, nothing less in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. There are 150 verses in the New Testament where the word children is used. Now, most of those times, it is a reference about children. Sometimes it's used about the children of Israel. In the two verses that we read tonight, Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3, God, through Paul, is speaking to children. He's not speaking about children. This is not just a reference to children. God is speaking to children. And in both cases, both verses, God says to children, obey. Now, if it is important, if it is recorded once, twice makes it even more important. And in both verses, Scripture commands the children to obey your parents. Now, there is no speculation as to the fact that the most important thing a child can learn at the beginning of its life is obedience. Obedience. Now, I want to look at it four perspectives tonight. It won't take me long. First of all, I want you to look at it from the perspective of firsts. Firsts in the Bible are important. One of the vital laws of Bible study is called the law of first mention. When you want to learn about a certain doctrine or a certain character in the Scripture, the first time the doctrine, the word, or the character is mentioned in the Bible is very important. It's very instructive. That's one of the reasons why Genesis is one. Yeah, it's hard to place one Scripture above the other. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable. But there's something especially important about the book of Genesis because it's the book of beginnings. It's the firsts, okay? So it is with the consider the first in these two verses. The verses do not say, children, learn to pray. The verses do not say, children, learn to read your Bible. The verses do not say, children, learn to witness. The verses don't say, children, be kind to others. On and on I could go tonight for sake of time. That's it. The verses say, children, obey. So the first thing children can and should and need to learn is to obey. Now, I think anybody that's ever had a small child in your home, you understand that, you know, the child is born into this world with the sin nature, and right along with that sin nature is the spirit of disobedience. They see the outlet in the wall and they want to go over and stick something into it, and you have to tell them no. You call their name, you say no, no. They look at you, they stick it in anyway. That's what they do. And then they're in the high chair. And they're graduating from milk to cereal. And you mothers remember the first time you put a spoonful of cereal in the kid's mouth, he spit it right back out. And the same thing, you know, and then pretty soon they learn to feed themselves and it gets more on their forehead and their cheek and their chin than they do in their mouth. And then they learn, then you put the food on there and then they start throwing it off the high chair. Just throwing food, high spoons, whatever, you tell them no, no, and they look at you and they throw off the high chair. I would imagine all of you teenagers, even you college-age kids, probably did that at some time in your life. I would imagine many of us adults did the same thing when we were little bitty kids. There's delicate items on the coffee table, delicate items on the table besides the lamps and things that mom or dad thinks are, you know, precious, and you take care of them, and you tell the child, don't touch them, and they touch them. And when you tell them no, they do it anyway. And they must be taught to obey people for their own personal good and for the benefit of society in general. Now, I thought about this, but think with me. He says children obey. Before they can learn about God, before they can learn stories in the Bible, before they can learn about Jesus, before they can learn salvation's plan, they can learn to obey. They can learn to obey. So you look at it from the perspective of firsts. The very first thing that a child can learn to do when he or she is headed to the electrical outlet, mom and dad says no, is they can turn around and walk away. They can obey. Before they understand Jesus died for their sin. Okay, they can learn to obey. So you look at it from the perspective of firsts. Then number two, I want you to look at it from the perspective of chain of command. The perspective of chain of command. Now listen, God gives parents authority over the children. No doubt about that. Mom and dad are the authority in their life. But there are times when parents share their authority with others, and they basically cede that authority that they have over their child to the authority of others, such as teachers, such as youth directors, such as camp counselors. And the truth of the matter is, when the child disobeys the teacher, the youth director, the camp counselor, it is a multi-level infraction. A multi-level infraction. So I'll just use these. Toby, come on up here. Toby, I'm going to give you the distinct privilege tonight of being God. Can you handle that? Okay. No, that's a good answer. That's a good answer, Toby, but we're going to do that for sake of illustration. All right. So come on, Trinity and Trace, come on up here. And we got brother and sister. We're going to let this be mom and dad. So you stand right there. And so God brings this man and this woman together in holy matrimony. Not. right? You wouldn't dare do that, huh? No. Okay. So, can she cook? No. Okay, yeah, a little bit. All right. So, anyway, so he brings the man and woman together in holy matrimony. And come here, Tim, since you're right up here. You're too tall, really, but step up one, guys, if you would. Okay, and pretty soon, there you go, Trace, moving at the speed of lightning. Amen. God puts this man and wife together, and he gives them a child, and God gives this man and wife authority over this child. Right? Okay, now. So now we're going to have Tim step forward a little bit, but this, come on up here, Connor. So they send Timothy to their little Timmy to school. They send Timmy to the youth activity. They send Timmy to camp. They send Timmy to some place where they are not. And when they send Tim to school or camp or youth activity or some other thing, they are ceding the authority over him to that camp counselor, to that youth director, to that teacher. Because it's not just do as you please for the time you're away from us. So let's say at camp, Timmy disobeys the camp counselor who has been granted authority by parents, who has been given authority by God. So the disobedience at the camp that Tim, whatever he did, goes all the way from the camp counselor to the parents to God. On the other hand, when Tim obeys, it's a multi-level obedience. It's a multi-level thing. He's ultimately obeying God. All right? Thank you, folks. I appreciate that. And Trace, that's not a nightmare. Okay? Amen. So, don't worry about it. Now, that's what I'm talking about. All right? The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. All right? So it's that chain of command. Children need to understand that obedience reaches further than the person giving a command or giving instruction. Obedience reaches all the way to the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. And guess what? The same is true about disobedience. It's not pleasing to the Lord, because ultimately that disobedience is to the Lord. Folks, look, obeying the Lord is a lifelong part of living for God. You don't graduate from that when you get your diploma from high school. You don't graduate from that responsibility when you get your diploma from a secondary school. You never graduate from the responsibility to live in obedience to God. So teaching children to obey dad and mom is preparing them for a lifetime of obeying the Lord. And the blessings, all the blessings of salvation, are based on obeying the Lord. You know, last Sunday night at the youth emphasis, I mentioned at the closing, I mentioned the story that Jesus told about the two men who built a house. Each man built a house, right? And the one man, by the way, I think I preached a whole message on this many, many years ago. Both those men heard the same teaching. And they both experienced the same storm. In Matthew's gospel, the wording of the storm for each man is identical. It's identical. So the man whose house fell, his house didn't fall because it was a more severe storm. The storm was identical. So they heard the same teaching and they encountered the same storm, but they did not enjoy the same outcome. The difference is the man who built his house on the rock not only heard the teaching, he obeyed it. And the one who heard the teaching and did not and doeth it not built his house on it. You know what that parable teaches? It teaches a lot of things. It teaches the imperative of obedience. And children learn that by first learning to obey their parents. first learning to obey their parents. And it's they have to understand this is a multi-level thing we're talking about here. When we send you to school, when we send you on a youth activity, when we send you to camp, that counselor, Brother Andrew, the youth director, the teacher at school, they are the ones you are to obey. Okay? When you disobey them, you're ultimately disobeying us and ultimately disobeying the Lord. It's a multi-level thing. It's a chain of command thing. Now, number three, I want you to look at it from the perspective just of simply parenting. Mom and Dad, is there anything more important than teaching your child to obey? So I got to teach them about Jesus. Listen, you're going to have an easier time teaching them about Jesus and salvation if you teach them to obey. You're going to have an easier time. And this begins at home. Before we got tons of kids here. That's great. And I know we got some sick tonight with people out with fevers and stuff, and it's kind of going around. But before your child is kindergarten age, they should be in the habit of obeying you. If they're not obeying you, they're probably not going to obey the teacher. They're probably not going to obey the youth director. They're probably not going to obey the camp counselor if they're not obeying you. How can you expect them to obey others if you're not expecting them to obey you? You know what that is? You're doing a disservice to the teachers, to the camp counselors, to the youth director, to anybody that you cede your authority to for the time that those children are with them. You're doing them a disservice if you do not teach them to obey. They must be taught to obey. Obey your parents. Obey. This is where it begins. Begins with mom and dad. They must be taught. They must be taught to obey immediately. Has to happen immediately. Well, you know, no. When I give you an order, when I give you something to do, then you need to do it immediately. They need to be taught to obey completely. Not halfway. They need to be taught to obey uncomplainingly. Uncomplainingly. They need to be taught to obey respectfully. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. That's still a good thing, folks. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, that's how they're going to respond to the teacher. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. It's called respect. It's learning to obey immediately, completely, uncomplainingly, and respectfully. And that has to be taught. And it's supposed to start at home. At home. Okay? So look at it from the perspective of parenting. And then, number four tonight, look at it from the perspective of training. Now, you know the verse in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. The way of obedience is the way in which a child must be trained. The word train means to educate, to teach. Listen to this. To form by instruction or practice. Now, I thought that was interesting. To form. Mold. You know how that happens, people? That is accomplished by repetition. Doing the same thing repeatedly until it is formed in the child. So kids need to be taught obedience and reminded of obedience and re-reminded of obedience. Because inconsistency in your approach to obedience will hurt the child. One day you're lenient, one day you're strict. The next day you're strict, the next 3 days you're lenient. The next 4 days you're strict, and the next week they're not going to get it. It's got to be formed in them. You know, you guys that have poured concrete, built houses, boy, I'm trying to get the word out. You know what they do, right? Okay, so they build those forms. And that's so that the concrete will stay in to the place and take the shape and the form that they want the concrete to stay in. Our son Ben is putting a building up over in Madagascar. And Brother Lewis, you know, I'm sure it's in your done all by hand. I mean, if they even use concrete over there, it's all done by hand, shovels and buckets. And the water goes off. They have to go down with 5-gallon jugs to the lake and fill them up with water and bring it back. It's all done by hand. But they did have forms. They had forms built so that concrete, that floor, would take the shape that they wanted it to be. And that's how it is with kids. Obedience, training is forming, it's molding that child to learn to obey. And the greatest tool, one of the greatest tools in that is just consistency. Consistency. Look, and you know, each child has a different degree of self-will in the area of disobedience. I've said before, with 6 kids, we had 6 different personalities. Some were similar, some were very opposite. And, you know, I had a couple of girls on both ends, oldest and youngest. If they disobeyed, I could frown at them and they broke. And I had 2 other girls. But your sister's worse than you, I will say that. I'd frown at her and she'd frown back. And that's not a lie. That's not an embellishment. That happened more than once. She was a tough nut. And I'm not sure we got the job done, but it seems like maybe something took, okay? But I hope she's not listening tonight. So, and here's what happened. Parents, you got to be careful to break the will, not the spirit, of a child. I have no problem with the spirit of a child. That man that stood here a little while ago, talked about his video, had a little bit of spirit. I like that. Well, yeah, thank you for supporting us in New Guinea. And not much has happened. It's been kind of tough. So we'll watch this, and I hope it's a blessing to you. I like spirited kids who know how to obey. A spirited kid who does not know how to obey is in trouble. With some kids, it's not easy, but it must be done. And parents, you break their will sooner in life, or the children will break your heart later. That will has to be. I personally believe this can only be accomplished when you employ biblical punishment. There has to be teaching and instruction. But I'm stunned by the departure from what God has said in His book about rearing kids and what it takes sometimes to break the will. Well, it's hard. Well, Lord, we just didn't think that was necessary because it was kind of hard. Are you with me? Are you listening, church? I'm not trying to be Neanderthal. I'm not trying. I didn't drag my kids around the house by their hair. I'm the boss around here. I'm not talking about that. Parents get really queasy when it comes to the subject of punishing their children for their disobedience. Because, you know, we're enlightened. Because we got blogs now. Don't know where God was when blogs came around. Just absolutely took God by surprise that we'd have all these blogs out there that really enlighten us with psychology instead of scriptural principle and truth. Well, you can't preach that anymore. Yes, I just did. You know, parents seem to think they know better than God as to how to rear your children without corporal punishment. But I personally don't see how it can be accomplished without some measure of corporal punishment. And some children require less than others. That's all there is to it. Now I'm going to give you one verse. Just one verse. But there are how many that go with it? Proverbs 22 and verse 15. The same chapter that train up a child is in. 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, what are you going to do with that? Well, I just think I read this blog the other day. Good. No, really not good. Bad. Probably should have read Proverbs 22. Look, folks, we either believe the Bible or we don't. You know, we can't. This is not a cafeteria. Remember cafeterias? You go through the line, they got seven or eight different, you know, types of salad. I forget, it was Piccadilly or S&S or something. I forget what it was down in Georgia. And my eyes were always bigger than my stomach. And we'd go there, and they got all these salads, and you choose what you want. And then they got the entrees, and you choose what you want. And then they got the vegetables, and you choose what you want. And then you get to the desserts and the breads. And we didn't do that often, but once in a while, Dad and Mom took us to a cafeteria, and it was like this, and here's this plate full of stuff, and I could never finish it. Son, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. I think my stomach has gotten bigger than my eyes now, and in the latter years of life. This is not a cafeteria. Well, you know, I think this will work for me, but that doesn't work for me. Look, 65, I wouldn't want to go back now and have little children again. I'm glad that part of my life is behind me. Not because I didn't like it. I loved it. But I feel for you parents with little kids. Because the climate of our country is not for you. The climate of our country is against you in this area of biblical practice. But I'm telling you, you have to find a way to obey God. You're not going to break their will without it. Now, if all you're doing is employing corporal punishment and you're not teaching and you're not instructing, you're missing out on the first half. You don't use corporal punishment on a child who's never been instructed. I don't know if Luke remembers this or not, but when the kids got old enough to start helping me mow at the house out there, if it really worked, like I enjoyed it working, Hannah would be on the rider. And Ben would be doing the push, okay? There were some areas where they did push mowing. And then I would take the weed eater and do the trimming. And that way, all three of us working at one time, we could reduce the time involved. And then Hannah got off the mower. Did you ride the mower? You pushed. Okay, all right. So somebody rode the mower, had me pushed. And so then Luke started pushing. And doing the push, and I don't know if he remembers this or not, but I was just so aggravated because he was just missing a bunch of stuff, and I took him out there, and I realized I showed Ben how to do it. And I guess so here I am, you know, barking at this kid, and I never showed him how to do it. And I showed him how I wanted it done, and he did it. So there's instruction and there's teaching. But when disobedience happens, it's got to be dealt with. Well, now, a lot of things like this I preach and tell you preventative maintenance. But this is not preventative tonight. This is corrective. Because we've had a problem with this in this school year in our elementary classes. It needs to get fixed. It needs to get fixed. And I've talked to your kids about it. And we'll continue to do so. And now I'm talking to you about it. And I'm going to preach this in the Spanish church. And talk to them about it. But I'm telling you, this needs to be fixed. Church and school are not places you send your kids so they can learn how to obey. And by the way, I'm not saying it's total chaos. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we're having some issues. I'm just being transparent with you. And we reinforce what you've taught them about obedience, and we assist you in that area while your children are here during church and school hours. And by the way, it hasn't been just in elementary classes in the day school. It's been a couple of elementary classes on Sunday. Having a hard time obeying the teacher. So, you go to the source. Parents, you're the source. Where it starts. So I'm coming to you tonight and telling you, is sharpen your pencils and strap on your work clothes. And child rearing is old-fashioned, hands-on, involved work on the part of parents. That's what it is. And you're not just going to raise them to obey with the wink of an eye and an attaboy. And they need that when they obey, but they need the other when they don't. The essential of obedience. Essential. So God is speaking directly to, not about children, not to the, about the children of Israel, not some reference to childhood. He is saying, children, and then the next word, obey. So let's get with it in the spirit of love and rear kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And let's teach them from the perspective of firsts, from the perspective of multi-level obedience, from the perspective of training, and from the perspective of whatever else it was I talked about tonight. Let's just get busy, and let's do what the Bible says, and let's teach our children to obey. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll bless the message to our hearts tonight, and thank you for the so many families with small children at home. And Lord, we look at that King's Kids crowd and a growing nursery, and Lord, I realize that the future, the perpetuation of the gospel and the faith is in those little children. And Lord, they must learn to obey. They must learn to obey. And Father, that begins at home. I pray that you'll help every parent in this room. And Lord, help us grandparents to be an encouragement. We can't take matters into our own hands, but we can sure be an encouragement to our kids who are raising kids. And Father, may it be an encouragement and a help tonight to the parents of our church with little children, elementary school kids, and even young people, teenage years at home. God, please, I pray that you'll work in this area in the hearts and lives of the young people. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Okay, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message tonight, the Spirit of God kind of pricked my heart. I needed that little jump start reminder, and God helping me, that's what I'm going to try to do, put my heart in it. But God spoke to me tonight. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting tonight in the auditorium? I appreciate that very, very much. If you're not born again, there's always an opportunity to obey God. We are commanded to repent and trust Christ. You can obey God in that area. Baptism, join the church, whatever is necessary. Let's stand together for the invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing the invitation song. The altar is open for you to come and kneel before the Lord and tell Him what He spoke to you about tonight in your heart. Maybe your kids aren't even school age yet. Maybe your children are still at home toddling around. That's the time to teach it. It's the time to begin now. Maybe God spoke to the heart of a child tonight. Maybe you've been having a struggle with your obedience. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, help me. Let me get this matter right and fixed in my own life. So you come tonight. Obey the Lord.